Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. We'd like to invite you back this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to be taking a look at the first section of the 119th Psalm. Lesson will be entitled The Blessedness of Obedience, and I would love for you to be back at that time. Would also call your attention to the poster up here with this year's theme from John 17, verse 3. Lord willing, we'll get into that next week. But this morning, I want to look at something related to New Year, the New Year. And what do you suppose the Israelites were doing on their New Year, which was not in January, by the way. It was a different time of the year. But their New Year, about 3,500-odd years ago, what do you reckon they were doing? Well, they were putting up the tabernacle. We read about that in the book of Exodus. And by the way, if you would please turn in your Old Testament to the book of Exodus, I want you to see a number of things there. And know that this is what the Word of God says. This is not just something some old gray-haired preacher is saying. I want you to see what God said within His Word. Just a year prior to what we read there, primarily in the book of Exodus, about in chapter 25, God had brought His people out of Egyptian slavery through the leadership of Moses. And they had gone on a journey through the wilderness to Mount Sinai. And of course, Moses went up and down Mount Sinai quite a number of times. It wasn't just the one time that you saw in the Charlton Heston movie that Charlton Heston went up and got the Ten Commandments and then came back down. But Moses was up and down that mountain quite a number of times, not only to get the Ten Commandments, but also to receive very detailed instructions as to the building of the tabernacle, which was their place where the people would meet with God, where they offered sacrifice, where they worshiped, and where God dwelt in a very special way. And so there were explicit instructions given there as to the dimensions of the tabernacle and the material that was to be used and the arrangement of the furniture. And God repeatedly exhorted Moses that he was to do everything according to the pattern. All things according to the pattern. And you, I hope, recognize that from the scripture reading that Emmanuel gave us this morning from Hebrews chapter 5. As we read that he was to do all things according to the pattern that was shown to him. That we find in chapter 25 of Exodus, verse 9, and also three additional times within that context. And so, I want us to see that Moses and the Israelites were to build that tabernacle according to God's pattern. God commanded that the tabernacle and its furnishings all be made and put together according to the pattern that was shown. And they were to do that, as we said, on the first day of what they would call New Year's. If you look in chapter 40, then the Lord spoke, verse 1, to Moses, saying, now verse 2, on the first day of the first month. Okay, so there it is. That was their New Year. And they were to make all of these things on that day, set up everything on that day. So we go back to chapter 25, and we look in verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And so that is what I am calling a summary command. Everything that was done there was to be done according to that pattern that God had showed to them on Mount Sinai. Now, the materials that were listed there in verses 3 through 7 of chapter 25, this is the offering you shall take from them. people were to give according to the things that were needed for the tabernacle. You shall take from them gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod of the breastplate. So there is all the various and sundry kinds of material that was to be given by the Israelite people so that Moses could set up the tabernacle when the time came. And very specific instructions then would follow. And so there were the various parts of the tabernacle that were to be built. And once again, we would go to chapter 25 and verse number 40. Let's flip over there to chapter 25. And verse number 40, see to it that you make them according to the pattern that was shown to you in the mountain. So we would start with these things that were to be made, the lampstand and the wick trimmers. Again, in chapter 25 and verse 40, see to it that you make these utensils according to the pattern which was shown to you in the mountain. And so it was key that they would do this. We read about all of the other various pieces of the tabernacle that were to be put together in this exact way. Various pieces there, beginning in chapter 26, if you want to turn over there with me, and we'll turn over to the 30th verse. You shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which was shown to you on the mountain. And so the various pieces of the tabernacle itself were to be raised up in that way. And we begin by looking at the altar of burnt offering. You know that the Israelites had to offer burnt offerings, various animals that would be totally consumed on the altar of burnt offering. And so we will look now in chapter 27, in the latter part of the 8th verse, as it was shown to you on the mountain, so shall they make it. And that was, again, concerning the altar of burnt offering. And so we see this continuous, repetitious, and I realize this can get a bit tedious, but I want you to stay with me because it's critical that we understand they were to do this exactly. Not just about, not, well, I think I have a better way, but exactly as God said to do these various things. And so they start off there with the altar of burnt offering. And then once again, we want to go back to that summary command. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. And so that included what we read a bit ago, from chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, about exactly when this was to be done. It was on their New Year's Day, a year after they came out of slavery in Egypt. We see there in the second verse of chapter 40, in the third verse of chapter 40, that the Ark of the Covenant was to be made exactly according to the pattern. The table of showbread in the first part of verse 4, there in chapter 40, was to be made according to the pattern that God showed him. The exact materials to be used, the exact size that it was to be. The lampstand was to be made that way as well in verse 4, the latter part. The altar of incense in verse 5, there was a golden altar on which the priests offered incense, burned incense. We see the altar of burnt offering in verse 6, the laver in verse 7, which was full of water, which the priests used for cleansing purposes, and the court in verse 8 was to be all of this made exactly as God commanded Moses. And so there was also instruction for the anointing of the tabernacle and its furnishings. a certain type of oil was to be made, and the recipe was to be followed for making that oil that was used, consecrating Aaron and his sons as the servants, as the priests, rather, that would be serving there in verses 12 through 15 of that chapter. And so all of this was to be done, as we said, and as we keep repeating, and the scripture keeps repeating, according to the pattern that was shown. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses. That's the key thing. These seven specific times, the text emphasizes that it was to be done exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so we see them setting up the tabernacle let me get my verses straight here, verses 18 and 19. As they set it up and put the covering on the top of it, then the Ark of the Covenant, of course, went into the most holy place. That's where it would remain and where the special presence of God dwelt. And that was where the mercy seat was, on which the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the priesthood, first of all, and then for the sins of all of Israel. And then there was the table of showbread in chapter 40, verses 22 and 23. By the way, if you look on the screen there in front of you, you will see the old English spelling of showbread. It's S-H-E-W, but it's pronounced showbread. It's not shoebread. Think of when you put a button on your shirt. What do? You sew it. How do you spell sew? S-E-W. And so even though it's spelled S-E-W, we don't say we sew a button. We sew the button, don't we? And this is showbread. Even though it's spelled with an E, it's still pronounced that way. So enough on that. The table of showbread, then we see the lampstand in verses 24 and 25, which was, again, all these things to be done exactly according to the pattern. The altar of incense, that golden altar, we see in verses 26 and 27, and then the altar of burnt offering in chapter 40, verses 28 and 29. Then we see the laver in verses 30 through 32. And let me make a brief comment about the picture on the screen in front of you. That is totally misleading. The priests did not stick their hands in the water. It would have become instantly unclean had they done so. They took water from the laver and used that for the cleansing rituals that they underwent. So be advised, whoever made that picture, sorry I couldn't find a better one, but that's not what they did. They didn't plunge their hands into the water to cleanse their hands. They took water from the laver and cleansed that way. So we might wonder, well now, what does all this have to do with us, Joe? Why did you go through all this agony? Over and over again, do this according to the pattern and go through all these various and sundry things that were in the tabernacle. What does this have to do with today? What does this have to do with you and me? We don't live 3,500 years ago, so why are we talking about this? Well, here's the thing. We are today to do according to God's pattern, just as they were. Our pattern is not identical to theirs. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, the things associated with the tabernacle, those were shadows, those were types, those were a preview, if you will, of better things that were to come, and that's why it has to do with you and me, just as the Hebrews writer said there in the 5th chapter. That Christ now has come, has established his kingdom, and we are to be following the pattern of the New Testament. Let me ask you this question. If it was important for the Israelites to follow the pattern that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, and obviously it was, we've seen that over and over again. If that was important for them, How much more important is it for you and me today to follow the pattern that is given for us in the New Testament? We live under a new and better covenant with better promises and better sacrifices. Obviously, it would be very crucial for us to follow the pattern that is given in the New Testament. And so, the tabernacle then, as we said, was simply a shadow, a type, if you will, of better things that were to come under the gospel of Christ. We enter Christ's kingdom by obeying a pattern of teaching. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, thanks be to God that whereas you were, past tense, you were the slaves of sin. That's before we came to know Jesus. You became obedient from the heart to that form, that pattern. It's the Greek, the Greek word tupos, the type. We talk about type and antitype. And that's the whole point of a pattern. It's a type. It's a shadow. It's a forecasting, a preview, if you will. And so we have that form, that pattern of teaching to which you were delivered, Paul says to the Romans. Well, Paul, what on earth are you talking about? That pattern of teaching that was given. Well, if you look a little earlier, that's pointed out in the sixth chapter of Romans, the second, third, fourth verses, that as many, we were baptized into Christ, as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so you also would walk in newness of life. So what do we have there? The death, burial, resurrection. We obey a type of that. We obey the death, burial, and resurrection by being immersed into Christ. That's the pattern. He says you became obedient from the heart to that pattern to which you were delivered. And so when the gospel was preached to you, you obeyed from the heart through being immersed into Christ, obeying the pattern, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so it's so tremendously important that we obey that pattern of teaching. And when we do, we become, number one, a saint. Me, a saint? Yes, you, a saint. One who has been sanctified, one who has been cleansed and set apart. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21, then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry and service. Okay, so in the Old Testament tabernacle, they sprinkled everything with blood, the sanctifying blood. And so we read a little bit further then in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And it goes on then, the Hebrews writer does, to affirm the superiority of the blood of Christ, that we have better blood. The things of the Old Testament were sanctified with animal blood. You and I are sanctified with the blood of Christ. And so, yes, indeed, we are made to be saints. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So you see that type and shadow relationship again. The animal blood was simply a shadow of the better blood of Jesus. Their sanctification of vessels and pots and pans and various other things was simply a shadow of you and me being cleansed by the blood of Christ, being sanctified, made a saint, if you will. And so we are made saints, and did you know you're a priest? I hope you did, because you are. If you are a Christian, you are a priest. Not one who offers animal sacrifices on an altar somewhere, but we offer spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 talks about the sacrifice of praise to God. And so, yes, we are priests. We don't offer animals, but we offer our praise to the Lord. And also, as Paul pointed out in Philippians 4, verse 18, he called the assistance that the Philippians brought to him by Brother Epaphroditus. He said, this is a sacrifice of a sweet smell to God. The burnt offerings oftentimes were referred to as a sweet odor, a sweet smell that would ascend up to God. And Paul says to the Philippians, what you gave to me, the material assistance that you gave to me, is that kind of a sacrifice. And Hebrews 13, 16 verifies that when we do good, when we share, it is a sacrifice to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice to Him. And so, that's how then we've seen how we enter the kingdom and that we become saints and priests when we do that. But it isn't just entering the kingdom to begin with. Then we need to continue our obedience to the pattern that is shown to us within the New Testament. As Paul pointed out to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, that we are to keep that pattern of sound words. What do we mean by sound words? The word sound means healthful. I, Joe Slater, being of sound mind and body, do bequeath this, that, and the other. Okay, so what do we mean by sound? That means I'm in good health. And so a healthy doctrine, that which is spiritually healthy, that which will promote spiritual well-being. And we're not looking just at doctrine here, but also, as Paul would point out in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, you behave, your manner of life, you look to me, the Apostle Paul, as a pattern. He says, I've not only told you how to live, but I'm showing you by the way that I behave myself. I'm showing you how to live. So is sound doctrine important? Yes, it is. But sound behavior is also important. It isn't a case of either or. It is both and. We want sound teaching, sound doctrine, but we also want to live in a sound way, a healthful way, a way that promotes spiritual well-being. And so I would challenge each of you this morning to follow God's pattern in this new year. If you have never obeyed the gospel, why are you waiting? This is the time for you. What better time than at the beginning of a new year to confess your faith that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to turn from sin in genuine repentance, and to obey that pattern of teaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, recognizing that you, as a person who doesn't know the Lord yet, are dead in sin. You are going to be buried with Christ, buried in the watery grave of baptism, and then be raised up from that grave to walk a brand new life. You can be a brand new creature in Christ Jesus this very morning. Why are you waiting? This or any other spiritual need is yours this morning. We would encourage you, we would plead with you to come and let us assist you in whatever your need might be, and we'll stand and sing for your encouragement.